You're very welcome to today's edition of Running for Our Lives. Now, when someone mentions running to me, I automatically go to the physical, getting the body in order and overcoming a physical challenge. But it appears that I've been taking a very one-dimensional approach. If you're interested in improving your running time, you should probably stick with us over the next half hour, as we're going to go beyond the superficially physical and take a look at what's going on inside our heads when we're running and see if we can pick up a few tips on how to use this to our advantage. If you've been listening for the past few weeks, you'd have seen just how much people's running habits vary. In fact, no two people are exactly alike when it comes to how they like to train.
I still like competing, so I try and run maybe 6 days a week, and I would have different days when I'd run hard and different days when I'd run easy and different days when I'd do a long run, and obviously then rest days and recovery and stuff. So yeah, for me I would very much have a schedule, but not everyone would be trying to compete all the time.
When I came here, I didn't know where to start from. Like, I didn't know where to run. I would just come out of the hostel, run around the hostel and come back.
7:05 here on Thursday morning, so get up out of bed, straight to get on the gear, straight down the stairs. I have the treadmill set up here in the kitchen, and trying to punch out 5k next half an hour or so.
Running's just in general has been fantastic from headspace for me, and physically, but headspace is why I do it for the most part. Sanctuary Runners in particular has been just such a great way of getting to know people from different backgrounds, people I would never have met through the normal course of things, who are just living around the corner. So it's been a fantastic way to make contact with people and get the great experience of talking to them and running with them.
I go running and I enjoy running. I maybe run 2 or 3 times a week. I sometimes run over the mountains, sometimes run round it, sometimes run on the beach. I don't really have much of a plan at the moment. I just like getting out there.
Now, irrespective of those differences, the one thing that seemed to unite everyone so far is that running makes them feel better. So I thought it might be worth exploring that a little bit more. Today we're going to try to look into where that feeling comes from.
I don't use it very often, but it just disintegrates everything.
John Graham is someone who helps people to deal with a range of things from anxiety and phobias to performance management.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's no better man to ask about the link between running and mental health.
There's so many aspects of running which can help with mental health, and it's really up to the individual in terms of how they approach it. So whether that's that they want a bit of structure in their day, so they're going to run for a certain amount of time or at a certain pace, or whether it's they just want to get out there, the social aspect, even if in lockdown, if we're restricted, having that spaced out group that you can run with. For me, going out and about, I like the fact that you have to change your running style, that sometimes I'm running fast, sometimes I'm running slow, sometimes it's raining. I mean, I live in Strand Hill, so all the time it's raining, or the wind. So I like the you don't know what's going to be happening during a run when you're outside. In terms of indoors, to me that doesn't appeal, but I do know some people who like that routineness of it, who like to have the clock in front of them or the TV in front of them so they can focus. They like to have it that there is no wind or rain or anything like that. So again, if you're in it for health, for the fitness side of things, you can benefit both ways. Exactly the same with the mental side of things. If it's something where it's just somebody's starting to feel a little bit anxious, it's starting to do something that isn't engaging them in the thoughts that are creating the anxiety. So not a distraction as such, but just somewhere else to put their attention. So that can certainly be one of the reasons why it can help their mental health, because at that moment they're no longer engaged in the thoughts that are causing the stress, and they're just engaged in the thoughts of whatever it is during that run. A lot of anxiety, stress, whatever, can be down to resistance of whatever it is that they're experiencing. So whether it's a feeling of tension or a feeling that they've labelled as tension and then have added a story to it, and that tension to disappear during the run can be really beneficial, even just to show that it isn't a permanent thing, that it is something that comes and goes. So I suppose some people will do it without knowing any of this, and they may just notice that they feel less stressed during a run. Others may be that they're combining it with other things such as mindfulness or meditation or even counselling or talking things through. So again, it's about you enjoying it, that you're, when I say not putting too much pressure on yourself, it's not getting down on yourself. You know, if some days you feel a little bit more tired than others, or you don't hit the time that you're looking for, it's just looking at, okay, well, learning from that and going on. So all these aspects, whether it's having a little bit more structure and something for the mind to do, or whether it's just freeing up the mind to enjoy the whole experience, can definitely be beneficial to mental health, to mental well-being.
I'd had my own problems with mental and emotional health.
Mm-hmm.
Had some difficulties managing that kind of thing. And I found that regular exercise was as important as other things that I tried, such as cognitive behavioural therapy and also a drug treatment program. By that I mean antidepressants, not being treated for drug addiction.
Okay, yes. Clear.
But yeah, it was an important stepping stone, and it fired up a flag to say that I was inclined to help other people who, for one reason or another, didn't like the more conventional approaches to health and well-being, or found them intimidating or found them difficult to access. So I was opening up a space for other people who want to get outdoors, find out a bit more about the countryside, run around in some of the wilder places, and just meet people who they can get on with. And it's turned into a real social group as well.
That's Sligo man Gavin MacArthur, talking in an admirably candid way about how he's seesaw between lots of different things when it comes to living with depression and the mental health difficulties that go with it. He came into the studio to talk to Francie about trail running.
Get out into the open air, get your heart and lungs engaged, get your muscles working, get oxygen cycling around your blood, and you'll get all the benefits from that.
Both physically, body-wise, and then mentally as well.
I think the distinction between those two, let's say, health domains is we got to break that one down.
Absolutely.
If you're physically healthy, chances are you're doing better mentally. And if your mental health is strong, you'll find it easier to, I suppose, live an active, healthier kind of lifestyle. But if one side of it is lacking, you've kind of got to push on the other side to bring it back into balance.
And I suppose we should note as well that we can help, especially, I suppose, with physicality is one thing in terms of diet and running, but in terms of somebody maybe with mental health issues, whatever, you can get better, like, isn't that the thing?
Can,
and, like, you can improve. Like, I know it mightn't seem that you can sometimes, but you can improve, and something like trail running can help that.
Well, just on a personal level, you know, from where I was this time last year to where I am now, the improvements they're so marked. And now I feel like I've found something that I can do well. I'm good at it. And then other people who come along and take part, they feel like they're participating in something that isn't just sucking the life out of them. Whatever they bring to the table, you know, it's spread around and shared, and they get it back, you know, in spades. And it's great to see. I mean, from my point of view, to see people coming from fairly unhealthy right through to a point where they're running around with, you know,
16 kilometres that they're after doing there,
grinning.
Yeah, know, grinning.
You know, that's it, like coming in at the end with a big grin on their face and ready for the next thing in the day, rather than coming in feeling disappointed because they haven't reached some kind of specified target that they had, or they feel like they've underperformed, or it's yet another stressor in their life. You know, if I didn't run well today, I'm a useless person and I'm terrible, or whatever it might be. I mean, I suppose it's great to see. This is a time of year where there's a lot of emphasis put on mental health, and rightly too. It's a difficult thing to manage. And at the moment, you've got lots and lots of agencies, organisations and individuals putting emphasis on the important things. Get out, socialise, eat a balanced diet. Don't go, like, there's so many fads and so many things out there that'll they'll distract you and take money out of your pocket too. But basically, if you're sleeping well, if you're getting on with your nearest and dearest, and you're socialising properly in a responsible way,
and getting out and exercising and your diet, that will help to go a long way.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we're dealing with the aftermath here of some very, very tough times. I think a lot of people now are seeing the value of living a more stable, more responsible kind of existence, one where the emphasis is on the maybe the smaller things, but they're no less important for that. And part of that is making time in your day or your week to get out and do something that it's good for you, and at the same time it makes you better. You're better able for all the other things you need to do. You're enabled. Your capacities have been increased.
Yes, I suppose lots of us can relate to what Gavin is saying, especially at the moment. And this is probably a good time to come back to John Graham. One of his specialities is enabling any of us who, like Gavin, might be struggling a little bit to call on our own resources to improve our lives. So how does he think we can best use running to contribute to our mental well-being?
If it's just for mental health, I would just go out there to enjoy it. To go out there and give yourself something to do which isn't sitting thinking about whatever it is that might be affecting your mental well-being. So it could just be a change from the norm. But the big thing is to go out there and just to enjoy it to start off with, to recognise that you're doing something, to recognise that it's a healthy activity, whether you're just walking or run walking, or whether you're trying to, you know, you're flying and beating a PB. All of this is doing something, just doing what you can do and being grateful that you've done it, you know, bigging yourself up, so to speak, that at least you've made that effort, because so many people aren't. Then once you get going, and again, I wouldn't be putting too much emphasis on improvement or having to get anywhere with it, but if you feel that you can do more, do more. And I'm sure some of the runners that you'll have spoken to will talk about, you know, training plans and stuff like that. But certainly if we're looking at mental well-being, to me, the big thing is to enjoy it. So even if you're getting out for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is, that is all progress on the running journey, so to speak. I mean, again, some people like structure. Some people like to have it in the diary so that it's something that they can, you know, have as a structure in the day. Me personally, that's not for me. I like to do it when I feel like it, as long as I do it. Now, you know, this isn't meant to be, I was going to say an endurance event, but it's not to be something that you don't enjoy. You have to do it. It's something that you're choosing to do. And you'll know the type of person you are. So if you're that type of person and you really want to get running, you really want to give it a go, then you're probably better actually just fixing it into your diary or telling other people that you're doing it. You know, again, I know that there may be certain restrictions at certain times, but certainly when I started running, because I wasn't fit. So a big help for me was I started running with some of the people from the triathlon club. And again, I was a little bit wary to start off with. I actually joined the men's initiative there, which was great because it was all sorts there. So there was people even older than me there. There was young ones, all different abilities. And I think this is a key thing as well. For some people, when you're looking at running, it can be very easy to look at how fit everybody else is out there, or what speed they're going at, or, you know, how you're going to look in front of them. So if you're comparing yourself to others and thinking that you're less than in any way, then obviously that's not going to be great for your mental well-being. Generally, what I've found with people that I've worked with in that space, that the mind starts kicking in, working out what they need to do in order not to feel this lacking, so to speak. So that might be they don't run, they just give up, or they find excuses to quit halfway. But then there's also the goals that you set yourself. Remember, everybody has a different goal, and your goal is made by you. Even if you write it on a piece of paper, you are still the one that's actually saying, this is what I want to achieve from that. So for me, my goal is to just get fresh air and just to enjoy the run. For somebody else, it might be doing it in a certain time. Now, we have to remember that we've all got different skill levels, different fitness levels, so that has to, fair enough, we can have a stretch goal. But not if you're never going to achieve it. You know, these things have to be broken down into smaller chunks. So if you've got a goal that's really stretching, that is breaking it down into smaller chunks so that you're able to hit, you know, these smaller goals, these smaller targets. The cool thing with hitting a goal is you're going to get a wee dopamine hit, you know, that feel good buzz, which might keep you, you know, plowing on. Nothing's impossible, but you want to make it as doable as possible, and part of that would be breaking down the larger task into smaller chunks. The great thing with running is it's completely individual. So whatever you're doing, at least you're doing something. So for me, it was great. Once I'd sort of dropped the thought of, oh, geez, everybody looks way fitter than me, apart from him and him, who I might beat in this. The cool thing was that we were all in it together, doing our own thing, but doing it as a group. So again, if you feel that you're somebody that might let things wander a little bit, if you don't have it planned, do it with somebody else. Bring other people and tell other people that you're doing it. That might put a little bit of extra stress on it.
The initial thing can be just getting out of the house and getting the fresh air and meeting like-minded people as well. If you could get over that hump, a lot of it, you know, becomes easier then, doesn't it?
Every session, first thing I'll do is I'll tell people well done for getting there.
Yeah.
Just simply for turning up. And we're out in all weathers and really enjoying that kind of that feeling of getting closer to the elements as well. There's a very good warm up. So in effect, before you hit the trails, you're spending 10, 15 minutes getting yourself trail ready. It's your heart and lungs that power your legs, not the other way around.
Okay.
Running well doesn't mean running fast. It just means you're running well.
Well, yeah.
You're cycling your oxygen properly. You're not building up any sort of excess lactate acid in your muscles. You're not injuring any of your tissues. And you're able to run at what you might call a sustainable pace for a good long time. You'll be running maybe 90 to 120 minutes a week as well, which is optimal for your health.
But how much of a runner do you need to be? I mean, if somebody's listened to this going, do you know what, that sounds something like I'd love to get involved in.
We had people starting who had either not run in decades or never ran at all.
All right.
And on the first day after a warm-up were just about capable of running a kilometre at a very, very slow pace. We're talking no faster than walking pace.
Okay.
Some of those people, you know, they're doing things like running the Strandhill to Ross's Point coast to coast run.
That's 10 mile run. Yeah, yeah.
The Coney Island run, the Cara run. That was a great one last year. It's good to have a milestone to aim for. And then the best one of all for everyone was we had an open day, a launch event on the 20th of September, running from Slish Wood along the Sligo Way, past Loch Lomond, up in those highlands above to the south of
Lochill.
Exactly, yeah. Into Slish to Union and then into Markery Castle.
Lovely.
And that's 16 kilometres over some fairly rough terrain. And there were 30 people took it on and everyone finished. There wasn't one injury.
Brilliant.
And many of those were people who couldn't have run a kilometre 8 months beforehand.
Now, that has to be encouraging for any shrinking violets out there. And what's really fantastic about Gavin's story is that he has literally changed his life as a result of running. From his start in establishing a trained running group in Sligo, he built running and tourism links to a beautiful Korean island. And incredibly, he's now established himself there as part of an innovative eco-tourism initiative. What's not so great is that very few of us will have the option of visiting Jeju Island anytime soon. So fortunately, Gavin did recommend a few good options closer to home.
Where's a good trail now around Sligo, just before you go?
Like the likes of Slish Wood, we'd use it a bit, or Union Wood.
Okay.
They're beautiful, like they really are. Gertaroy, in fact, if you're looking for somewhere to go, it's gone from roughly 4 kilometres to nearly 9 kilometres. There's great scope for maybe having a great circuit trail all the way around the Dartry Mountains at some stage. You know, that's something to look forward to.
Nice.
You could start running in Glencar and go all the way around.
So if you think the trail running might be the thing for you, Sligo's Trail Running Group can be found on Facebook or through contacting William Britton of northwestadventuretours.ie. So on that basis, there's no denying that running makes us feel better. But despite this, sometimes just getting out the door is the hardest part of all. I think that I'd certainly opt for a hot cuppa and the sofa over a bracing run. And I'm sure there are lots of others out there that might feel the same. I spoke to John about one of the most capricious aspects of running, motivation.
And this would be the same for anything, whether it's running or any part of life. It's recognising the thoughts that we have. Generally, that's all that commentary is trying to do, is to try and keep you feeling good, whatever good is. So if you notice it's raining outside, you feel a little bit blah, or whatever, the voice might pop into your head and try and make up excuses for you. I would start focusing on what it is that you want to get from this. How you might even just want to check in on how you like to feel when you're finished, or even just thinking about all the times where you've actually just ignored that voice and got on with it and how much you've enjoyed it. It might be for some that you just have to have that little bit more discipline in terms of, okay, well, I've set the time, I'm going out there. So again, it's just knowing that this little voice, it's got the best intentions for you. It wants you to feel good, but that the solutions that it comes up with might not help you get what you actually want to get, whether it's just to get out for a run or whether it's to get a certain time or to achieve a certain thing. So yeah, first thing would be just to notice it and recognise that you don't actually have to follow it. It's just an option. So for me, if I'm going for a run and then I start noticing that it's raining, my head could start wondering about me getting soaked. It could start picturing how miserable I'm going to feel when I'm getting wet, how far I've got to go, picture myself trudging through the rain or whatever. That's going to affect the body. So you start to feel your body starting to, you know, lose energy. If it's a fear factor, if you're not going to hit the time, then it might start to tense up, you know. So it's starting to recognize that this endless commentary is a temporary thing. So at least if you can see your thoughts when you're running and not actually have to do anything with them, then they will move themselves. And the cool thing with running is you've got so many other places that you can place your attention. So generally when we're doing meditation or mindfulness, you might have a focal point. With a lot of meditations or mindfulness, you've got a focal point. So a focal point somewhere that you can put your attention on non-judgmentally, which will allow you just to be present with that particular thing. So you'll still have thoughts, you'll still have feelings, but this focal point is somewhere where you're putting your attention. So the cool thing with running is there's loads of places that you can put your attention, whether it's on the sensory aspect of it. So for me, it's, I keep saying, it's the wind going through my hair, well, my hair or my... But it might be focusing on your breathing. It could be focusing on the, you know, just the scenery or your technique. So again, just checking in on the body, noticing if you're hunched over or you're tense anywhere. So when I say non-judgmental, it's looking at these things as neutral. Okay, so if my technique's bad, it's not that it's good or bad. It's just it's not right at the moment, so I just need to change it. You know. Again, even with the weather is not good or bad, it's the thoughts I have about it which make it so. So again, it's neutralizing that and then coming back to putting your attention on something that's more useful. Even counting your pace or, you know, something which is neutral can help if the mind starts to chatter a little bit and starts to make the run that little bit harder or the experience less enjoyable. Because the cool thing is, as soon as you stop engaging with a thought or stop engaging with a feeling, they'll move themselves. A new thought will pop up, and when new thought comes, new experience. So it doesn't take long for you to, I'm sure you've had that before, you know, where you've even just been out for a walk and you might have been in a bad mood and you just go out for the walk and you maybe start chatting to somebody and you feel better. It's nothing to do with the actual walk itself or the chat. It's just that you've stopped engaging with the thoughts or the feelings which were causing you any sort of stress. So this would be exactly the same with running. There's loads of things that you can be putting your attention on to give you that sort of present moment experience, because in the present moment there's no problems.
One of the biggest issues for runners is avoiding physical problems.
If you're running and you want to increase either distance or speed, the advice is to increase things by 5 to 10% a week. So don't increase double what you've been doing from the week before. So increase things slowly, and this lets your body get used to the increased load, and therefore you're less likely to get injuries. Also, what can be quite important is taking rest days. So taking time off the activity. And generally we recommend 2 rest days a week. You could do another activity, though you would want it to be a lower load activity. But something like swimming, a yoga, a Pilates, low impact exercise would be a good thing. And also, running is great, but it doesn't get a good workout of the upper limbs, of the neck, upper back and the arms. So trying to combine it with an exercise that does work out those areas is a good thing. Look at your posture a little bit. And I suppose work on ways to relax. The other thing that some people do, if you wanted to take up running at maybe a more serious level, is look at getting a strength program. So a strength program will build the areas that need to work hard during running, like your quadriceps, your hamstrings, your gluteal muscles. And a personal trainer can look at your individual muscle strength and give you some specific exercises to be working on to help your running performance, and that should reduce your risk of injury as well. Also, good nutrition, good sleep, those are very important things when you're trying to exercise. A lot of people do a little bit of a warm-up before they go running, and in the past this used to be very static stretching. You'd stand beside the wall and you'd do your static stretch. The evidence is now showing that more dynamic stretching is more beneficial. So movement stretches that work the limbs and stretch the joints, but not stretching them to the end of the range. Stretching now would be generally better at the end of your run program for 5 or 10 minutes to stretch out the joints after you've done your run. So you're looking probably at your big leg muscle groups. So that would include your calf, your hamstring, your quadriceps, your gluteal muscles, and probably a lower back stretch. They're the areas that have worked very hard during your run.
What happens when an injury or something else prevents us from running and from drawing the rewards that keep us on the straight and narrow?
What we can do is we can associate a feeling with a certain thing. Feeling, you know, happy when they run, maybe their happy place or their happy time, or they get a real sense of satisfaction, or they just feel free, or anything like that. The reason for that is that the mind's no longer looking for anything to be changed in order for them to feel a certain way. So they've gone out there, they've ran. The mind doesn't have to kick into action, try to work out what needs to be changed or improved. From that space of just being present, then there might be happiness might come from it, or confidence or joy or whatever. So to see that this is an internal experience that you're having, that this feeling of peace is coming from you. It's not coming from the run. It's not coming from your time. It's not coming from whoever you're with. It's coming from you deciding that at this moment, nothing needs to change. Where I see that helpful in terms of mental well-being is that that can be the same in any aspect of your life. So the lessons learned in a run, if that's your space where you allow things just to be, all of the things that perhaps you've been stressing about are still out there. So at that moment, by the very fact that you can find that little bit of peace, it's nothing to do with the run, it's just that you've allowed that. So that can happen at any time. If it can happen during the run, then it can happen during a walk. If it can happen during a walk, it can happen when you're at home. You know, it's noticing that your whole experience is actually being created within you. There's one big thing that I would say in terms of mental well-being. If people can see that their experience is coming from within, and that you're going to have thoughts and feelings whether you run or whether you're not. So running's a good way to see these thoughts and feelings move. Because the truth is, and I'm sure you've done this before, or your listeners will have, where, you know, you might have had a goal in terms of a run, be it a 5K or a 10K, and you do it, and you get a little burst of dopamine and a little buzz from doing it, and 20 minutes later, you're thinking, what do I do next? What's next now in order for me to feel this way? So again, what I'd be pushing back on is showing, well, that shows that it isn't the achievement that's given you that feeling, it's that you have achieved and you've patted yourself on the back or whatever, and at that moment, nothing needs changing. People talk about flow, they'll talk about, you know, being in the moment or whatever it is. That is freedom. That is what we're aiming for, and that's available at any time. Running just gives us one way of seeing that, and as I say, it's got a useful few focal points that you can put your attention on, be mindful with, to allow the mind to clear naturally rather than to force it. So I know the term my happy place is used quite a lot, and that's great that people have these spaces, but it's them that's creating that happy place, that by them saying that this is my happy place, or this run is my space to do this, basically it's restricting that peace, because if that's the only place that they can have it, what happens when they can't run? So if we can see that, yeah, great, do things that you love to do, and remember it's you that's creating those rules in terms of what that's supposed to look like. It's great to have things in life that you can enjoy, but it's also noticing that those feelings of peace, of calm, of happiness or whatever, they're coming from you, and you can experience them at any time. It doesn't have to be during the run. It doesn't. That's limiting yourself.
Now, I always thought that running as a form of exercise might be a bit too hard on the body as the years clock by. However, Michelle, our physiotherapist, set the record straight, telling me that as long as people follow those recommended practices regarding stretching, distance and rest, their running days can go well on into later life. More good news for both our mental and physical health. Shane Hayes of the Sligo Sports Partnership uses his father, Terry, a stalwart of the running community here, as an example of how running is an activity that can stay with you for life.
As long as I can remember from being a child, he's running. He was always into running himself, and not only as a competitor when he ran a lot competitively, but also always as a coach. He's coached kids and adults, juveniles, all age groups for years, and he's still down here every Tuesday and Thursdays in the race course training.
You know, people might be a bit shy of running because they're afraid about injuries. I'm not going to say what age your dad is.
Funnily enough, he only had a birthday very, very recently, and it's just, I won't say exactly what it is, but it's a little bit over 70.
He's an example of somebody that no matter what age you are, you can still run.
Oh, yeah.
How do you think
absolutely
he's done that?
I suppose he'd always advocate for, even though he trained very, very hard and he's all for training hard, he'd always be very, very good on the recovery side of it and not overtraining. I know a lot of top young athletes that would have worked with him who became quite good seniors would have always said, he never pushed me beyond. He pushed me hard, but never too much. I mean, he trained very, very, very hard in his day, but I suppose he probably had good recovery and he was light. He had the right frame for running. But also, he really would be a big advocate of running, staying off the roads as much as you can. So running on grass, running on trails, particularly grass. I mean, we have the race course. We have somewhere like here. There are different places, you know. So if you can stay off the road as much as you can, because, you mean, you can race on the road, but if you're training a lot on the road, it does take its toll. So I think that's probably a big part of it as well. He did an awful lot of his training off the road as well, so probably that, and you know, obviously a little bit of stretching and looking after yourself and getting your recovery day as well, you know. So I think people don't realise the importance of the recovery days as well, because running is hard. It's hard on your body. You're using every single part of your body. You don't get a huge amount of time to recover, so you need to have those rest days. Do your stretching, get your massages if you're doing a bit more, eat the right foods and all like that. But also, yeah, just run easy some days. Just enjoy it. Just run as easy as you want. Even there today, like I was barely quicker than a walk, and on the grass is just so much better for your body. You don't feel it half as much the next day. So yeah, just look after yourself, and particularly as you get older, just listen to your body. If it's telling you it's tired, then take it easy.
And on those solid words of advice from Shane, we'll take our leave for this week. Hopefully today's discussions might allow you to tune into how running can help you to be good to yourself, and how the virtuous circle that it can create can bring benefits to lots of aspects of your life. Next week, we're going to go where most runners fear to tread, into the world of extreme events. What drives a man to run for 16 hours non-stop, or to run 6 consecutive marathons in the heat of the Sahara Desert? Definitely not for the faint-hearted. So, until next week, you might as well soak up all the positivity from today's speakers and get out and enjoy your run wherever you can. I'll be back here at the same time next week.